The question is that before you spoke also about the ministry of a husband to his wife, and that he should wash her through the word, that she may become clean. But mm-hmm. Can you be a little bit more specific about how you do that?
Sure, great question. Just turn with me for a second to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, here it's talking about the teaching of children, but there is a wider principle. He says in chapter 6, verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." First of all, we must realize that ministering the word in our home does not just mean having a Bible study with our wife and children, but it means to create an environment of the word of God in our entire home and in everything we do. That's what I believe Joshua meant when he says, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." So let's look at kind of the order of this. In verse 8, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead." So the father and the husband must be a man who is saturated by the word of God, and his thinking and his doing are controlled by the word of God. Modern man has kind of divided up his life into departments. I mean, if you look at the medical profession, which I praise God for the medical profession, but it used to be that a doctor was a doctor of everything, general medicine. Now there's very specific compartments, so that a doctor who's an expert in one thing may not know anything in another discipline. Our lives are also cut up in departments with regard to time, and this has affected our Christianity. We get up in the morning, maybe we study a chapter or two of Scripture, then we kind of put the Bible aside, we kind of check off, "I did my quiet time," now we go do other things, and that's not right. Now see, this is something you can't fabricate if it's not real in you. You must be a man who thinks much about the Word of God and orders his life according to that Word, so that you create an environment of spirituality of the Word of God in your home. My boys and I spend, some time in the woods and in the wilderness. Sometimes we'll sit for hours in a tree waiting on a deer. We'll talk about God. Or my boys are both learning wrestling and fighting. So I'll get down there and wrestle with them. And then when I pin one of them to the floor, I go, "We wrestle not with flesh and blood." And if you think I can pin you to the ground, just imagine what the devil can do. I mean, it's just that the whole life needs to be a conversation around the Lord and His goodness and His joy. So that's the first part, is that you're meditating on the Word, and the Word just kind of is an environment of your home. Then, though, I believe that there are specific times that you ought to have in order to teach the Word. Our family meets once a night in the evening, and we have a family fellowship, and we study the book of Proverbs, and then another book. Right now we're in Luke. So I'll look at a few verses in Proverbs and then a few verses in Luke. And we go verse by verse. My boys are now on their third time through the book of Proverbs with me, line by line, exposition. And we've done several books of the New Testament and the Old Testament. My wife is there participating. And so it's a family devotion. But then there's also need at times to meet with children individually. If you see a certain sin that begins to grab a hold of the child. One of my children, his sin is that he's kind of the center of attention in his own mind. He's a natural-born leader, and so he tries to push everyone into his way of thinking. So I have to deal with that sin specifically, not trying to crush him, but to mold that gift. My other son is passive, just follows his brother, and so I need to deal with him on a different way. And then also with your wife, there needs to be times when you meet over the Scripture and the kids aren't there. And it's probably not going to be every day, but a couple of times a week. And the best thing to do is to take a book of the Bible, like I think the Ephesians or Colossians, and maybe you read a portion of that text, And then you discuss it. You talk about it. With my children, I discuss the word. But there's a lot more lecture on my part. Because they're children and they need to be instructed. But my wife is not a child. She's my equal. So we converse over the word. I feel like this is commanded in Scripture. It's not an option. But you want to be very careful. Your religion in your house should not start and stop with your Bible study, because the kids will see hypocrisy and they'll see Christianity as something you turn on and turn off. Also, I'm very careful about time. If we get into a Bible study and it's just kind of, you know, not a whole lot is happening, it's good, but it's just a normal Bible study. It's going to be no more than 20 minutes. 15, 20 minutes with my boys. But then sometimes something special happens. And it may go for 45 minutes. But it's because something's really happening and they're really spurred on to do it. And don't turn it into just legalistic, boring lecture. So those are some of the things that we do. When that child is able to understand language, they begin real Bible study. And even before they understand language, they are still capable of learning. So, I mean, I was sharing the gospel with my children when they were in their mom's womb and praying for them. As they came out as an infant, you can already start training a baby. You pick them up from the crib when they genuinely are scared. You don't pick them up every time they cry, because they're learning to manipulate you. When they're little toddlers, you can teach them to sit in the family devotion and not make a noise. And the same in the church. We don't send our children away when church starts. If there's a theological lecture going on in the church, those children are seated there. And they learn to sit quietly, and they learn to listen. With my children, before they could write, I would tell them, I want you to draw a picture of something that you understood in this sermon. So that, you know, we can have, for example, we had special meetings a couple of weeks ago in our church. The sermons lasted probably an average of an hour and 45 minutes, just the sermon. And our children of our church sat there and they listened. We do not believe in a generation gap. And we think that the segregation of children is also a worldly idea. Children's church, youth groups, things like that, we don't buy into. So when we have our Bible study at home, that is our opportunity to train our little children for church. Because we can teach them, discipline them, and everything right in our family, so that when we take them in public, they know how to act. Now, with a baby or with a toddler who's just beginning to be able to respond to commands and seeing pictures, this is what I do. I take the simplest children's Bible that I can find, preferably one that just has a few lines on each page, has good pictures, and preferably one that rhymes, because it is so much easier for a child to get involved when it rhymes. That's why it was so much easier to memorize the Bible in Hebrew, because it has a rhythm to it. And then in reading the Bible with my child, I'm very animated, and that really helps. And I use different voices, different accents, and it's a time that they really enjoy. If I go through that simplest Bible twice, then I go to another Bible that's a little bit more mature. I still try to find one that rhymes. We go through it. And then another one. And pretty soon, they're reading the New Testament and the Old Testament in the same Bible that you use. Ian has just finished, I think he finishes this week, having gone through all the scriptures and read them himself and gone through them, the entire Bible. Now, he's read the New Testament many times, different books of the New Testament, but now he's gone through the whole Bible. Evan is in, he's in Isaiah right now, Evan, my 9-year-old. And you teach them. For example, I was seated this morning looking at the scriptures, and Evan got up first, and without even looking at me, he went over to the table, picked his Bible up, and then he said, "Hello, Dad," and then walked over and started reading the scriptures. knows that's what you do the first thing in the morning. I do not believe he has become a Christian. But these are things that you train. And they just accept it as this is the way of life. But you have to begin it very early. Some say that a child's character is formed by the time it is 6 years old. Most parents do not start instruction or discipline until a child is much older than that. So their character is already shaped in rebellion. Also, you've got to realize that each child is different. Ian, my first son, is a real reader. I mean, he has read so many books. My other son, Evan, he just wants to be in special forces and go to war. That's all he wants to do. And I tell him, you've got to be able to read to do that. So they're all different. You got to treat them different.
This brother is wondering how you as a family use your time in general, and also if the things that you share with us are not closely related to the fact that you give your children homeschooling.
Okay. Well, first of all, whether your children go to a public school or are homeschooled, the scripture studies, it's the same. Now, the second question was, how do we use our time? Well, I am a very busy person, as I'm sure that you are. What I have discovered as a man is that you lose time in little increments. Like, for example, if when I go to the office to work, I'm going to get to the office early, and I'm going to work. If everyone wants to go to lunch, all the guys, that's fine. But I'm usually not going to go. Because I'm trying to cut out everything in my life that takes away from my family. Because I realize that is my calling right now. There'll be a time when my children leave the home and my wife and I will have more free time. But right now I'm called to raise a family. And so here's some of the things I do. I try to get up early and get to work early so that I can be home. I work out 4 times a week, really hard.
Exercise.
Now you say, why do you do that? Because it enables me to work from 5 in the morning until 11 or 12 at night. That's why. You say, well, the Apostle Paul didn't do exercises. You're right. He walked 25 miles a day. And I have found that in order to maintain a rigid schedule, I need to work out. I need to eat right. Because I want to live as long as I can, as healthy as I can. Every once in a while, I go crazy and eat a hamburger with Kevin. But then our wives find out and beat us, and we don't do it again for at least another 2 months. And then when I get home from work, this is what I do. Now, this is just my house, okay? My boys are homeschooled. We also do not live on a farm anymore. I will not have boys with soft hands. So they do Olympic lifting to get calluses on their hands. I make them work out until they feel like I can't go on anymore. They do karate twice a week.
What?
So I'm raising boys. I'm not raising girls. There's got to be some toughness to them. So I invest in that. Now, when we do our workouts, and this is going to seem really funny. I don't know if you've seen my little daughter. She loves to work out. So she lifts weights with us. And it is hilarious. Because she's learned how to make the noises. When she's bench pressing, she goes, "Argh!" And then she says, "Don't take it, Dad. I can do another one." Because see, the father is more important to the daughter than even the mother is. And so she's in on everything. So here's some other activities. We live in a place where there are a lot of really nice things for free. So we take advantage of that. There are a lot of forests. We do kayaking, just different things like that. Because you need to get your children outside, and not just your boys. You need to get your girls outside. Whether it's taking them to the park to play soccer, they need to be outside. And when I do that with my children, it's also relaxing for me. And so if I get home at 6 o'clock, we'll work out, we'll eat, and then we'll have our Bible study, and we'll have time in which we just converse, we talk to one another, and maybe do things together. And then I try to set aside certain days in which we do something all together. We have families in our church that own farms, for example, and they sell chickens. So take my children up there, and we spend the whole day cutting heads off of chickens.
Dus,
I mean, they've got to learn these things. You know, and but now the thing about homeschooling, it does allow us some tremendous privileges. Now, it is hard, but it's worth it. I mean, my wife is teaching our children and managing the home. But now that my boys are older, Ian is 11, and he pretty much manages his own studies. He knows what he's supposed to do, and I'll check it. But he pretty much is self-taught now. It's also amazing because he can now help his brother. And then many times, I just take both boys to the office with me, and they study there, right with me. So it's great to have my kids with me. When they get a little older, they'll probably another year for Ian, he'll probably start working at the mission. Now, he won't get paid or anything, but he will carry out tasks. Let me give you an example. Forrest, how old are you? Forrest is 18. We have a donors program. What would you call it? A database program that is really, really big. I mean, it takes something to run this database. Forrest started coming to the mission probably when he was around 16 or something. Now he runs the entire database and the data program and everything for HeartCry. And the way his mother and father taught him, I'm sure he could have run the whole thing when he was 14. And so, you know, we try to bring our children into our... Like, my children would normally be in school, but they're able to come to Holland. England, Italy, Peru, and they learn so much just by doing that. And so homeschooling is a way of life that changes absolutely everything. I don't make a lot of money. Any man that makes the amount of money I do in the United States, his wife would be working full-time too. And my wife does not work because she's pouring her life into our children. And yeah, we can't buy a nice car or anything like that. I don't care. My car is disposable. If it breaks down, I'll just leave it on the side of the road and walk home. We had to make these kinds of decisions, and they're wonderful. And my children understand why we live the way we live. But God is so gracious to provide so many things that money can't buy.
Please visit our website at heartcrymissionary.com. There you will find information about the ministry, our purpose, beliefs and methodologies, and extensive information about the missionaries we are privileged to serve.